Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, we've got Jesse Agler in studio, who knows that as the Padres are getting ready to start their final homestand of the season, they've come a long way in 2015.
Feels like just yesterday we were in Peoria, melting on the sidewalks in spring training, but that is certainly a long time ago.
Also in studio, we've got Kurt Bavacqua, who couldn't be happier to be doing the show with Jesse.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, everybody would like to fall into that little situation.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bavacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, Monday, September 21st. Let that date sink in your head. September 21st. I'm talking from like a baseball perspective. We're running out of time, man. Clock is ticking. Game 150 yesterday here in the 2015 season. We're at the AMR studio. And Kurt Bavacqua, over the weekend, the Padres officially mathematically eliminated from postseason contention. And now one more homestand that will begin tomorrow night when the San Francisco Giants come to town.
They can still finish at 500.
They can. It's got to go well down the stretch here.
Real well.
Let me ask you something, though. You've been on teams that have struggled. You've been on good teams as well. I mean, is that ever a thing in a player's mind, 2 weeks left in the season? Hey, we can get to 500. Let's reach for that goal. Is that something guys talk about or think about in these situations?
I think you always think about putting together a string as a player, whether you're trying to win 11 in a row or 10 in a row. You take it one at a time, but your thought process is, let's win some games in a row here.
Yeah, let's finish on a high note. I imagine, hey, if a team, any team, right, it wins 77 games, they're bummed out. Okay, we know that. But if they win 8 out of their last 10 to get to 77, do they feel better going into the offseason than if they lost 8 out of their last 10 to get to 77?
Well, there's no doubt about that. You always feel better when you win. And there's a lot of guys that are playing baseball with a San Diego Padre uniform right now that are trying to prove themselves for 2016.
No doubt.
And they're being given an opportunity, and there's some of them that are doing really well.
Absolutely. Yesterday, a bright spot late in this season, wrapped up the last long road trip of the year with a beating, just a beatdown, a thumping of Kyle Kendrick and the Colorado Rockies. Do you remember or realize Kyle Kendrick was the opening day starter for the Rockies this year? Yesterday was a rematch of opening day starters. Not that they started against one another, but Kyle Kendrick was the opening day starter for the Colorado Rockies. Now, Jorge De La Rosa was injured. That's part of the reason why. But he was like a big free agent acquisition for the Rockies this year. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. Pitching at Coors Field, not the easiest thing to do. And the guy's got a brutal ERA at home this season. And you saw why yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't make very good pitches, and the ball club took advantage of it. And you need to do that, especially in Colorado. I mean, we were talking before we went on air, and I was mentioning the fact that if you get the ball lofted in Colorado, I'm not talking about a line drive. I don't think line drives go as far in Colorado or a lot further in Colorado than they do in any other place. But if you get the ball in the air, high in the air, the ball definitely goes further because of the light air. I know a lot of people, when we play golf there, that hit higher lofted clubs off the tee because it stays in the air longer and goes further.
So instead of a driver, maybe you take out a big wood, you know, you want it more up in the air as opposed to like a line
That's
drive
exactly
shot
right.
off the tee.
Exactly.
It makes sense. Makes all the sense in the world. And you've seen it in football too.
And we saw it yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, we saw it yesterday. There's no doubt. We've had, you know, some of the longest field goals in NFL history have taken place at the Broncos Stadium. It's a mathematical, scientific, whatever you want to say thing. Like if you do get a ball, baseball, golf ball, football up in the air, it will go longer there because of the altitude, because of the thin air than in other places. And as you said yesterday, the Padres hit the ball in the air and good things happened for them. We've got our Supercuts cuts of the game. Usually we do a cut of the game. We're going cuts because the Padres hit four home runs yesterday. We'll talk about Carlos Gonzalez, by the way. Yonervis Solarte leaving the yard, a two-run shot, second batter of the game yesterday afternoon. Matt Kemp would get into it in the third inning, one of two solo home runs that the Padres would hit in the third. That one gets an easy 10 rows back in left field. Two batters after Matt Kemp leaves the yard. Jed Jerko homers for the second consecutive day. He went out to right field on Saturday night. Yesterday, he smashes that one to left field. And then, that was in the third inning. The next inning, in the fourth, Corey Spangenberg, home run number three on the year. Well over the fence in right center field at Coors. Those are our Supercuts, cuts of the game. Plural, cuts, because the four home runs each awarded a cut. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Yeah, they were hitting the ball in the air, and good things were happening.
Absolutely. And shame on Kyle Kendrick for trying to sneak an 88-mile-an-hour fastball by Spangenberg.
Mark Grant said it over the course of the weekend. He said, hey, look, if you're gonna pitch up at Coors Field fastball-wise, you better be one of these 97, 98 guys.
At least 93, 94. I mean, you can't be at 88 and expect to sneak it by guys.
No.
And Corey proved that. I mean, again, this is a ball that he lofted up into the air because of the location of the pitch. So it was fun to watch. I got a kick out of watching yesterday, and you mentioned somebody's name. I'll let you continue with it because I got a kick out of watching him after the first time because I knew he was messing with people.
He did it on Saturday night as well, Jed Jerko's home run. Carlos Gonzalez, the right fielder. And this is the Spangenberg home run Seth's showing now. Kind of at the last moment, he turns around and watches it go over the fence. But you're right. Multiple times this weekend, Jerko on Saturday night, and then yesterday with the Solarte home run, he goes back playing right field as if he is going to be able to make a catch. So here's Jerko on Saturday night if you're watching on Fox Sports San Diego or if you're watching at Padres.com/social hour. He's drifting back as if he's not only going to make the catch, but he's going to make the catch shy of the warning track. All right, and then he does it again yesterday in the first inning with Yonhervis Solarte. He's out there playing right field, and I'm just going to drift back. I'm going to make the catch. Next thing you know, the thing is like 5 feet over the fence in right field. So let's come at this from a couple of different angles. Let me start with the announcer angle because I was announcing these games on Fox Sports San Diego. Screw off, Carlos Gonzalez. This is what we do, okay? We cheat. We look at the outfielder because it's hard to tell where the ball is going just by tracking the ball. So that's what everybody – if you're a fan, you probably do this in the ballpark too. If you're not one of the people that gets fooled and goes, every time there's a long fly ball, what you do is you watch the outfielder, and he usually gives you a pretty good indication of whether or not the thing is going to be caught or not. So as an announcer, you're like, fly ball to right field, and you see Gonzalez looking as if he's measuring the thing up, getting ready to make the catch, and you don't get excited as if it's going to be a home run. Next thing you know, the ball's in the fifth row. So that's one thing. But Mark Grant was saying on TV, he goes, hey, when you're on the mound, you're watching the same thing. And he said if he was pitching and his outfielder was doing that, he'd be upset about it.
He got me on Saturday night.
Gonzalez?
Yeah.
Yay, that's everybody's trained to watch the outfielder.
And then when I saw the first one on Sunday, then I knew he was messing with people. And then we had Justin Upton on the postgame show yesterday on 1090, and I was asking Justin about it, and he was laughing because evidently everybody knew that he was messing with people.
So who do you think his target is? Is he trying to mess with the other team? Is he trying to mess? Does he not like the Rockies announcers? Like, who do you think he's going after with these antics?
He's probably getting the visiting team announcers more than he is the Rockies.
Because they've
announcers.
Learned it by now.
They've probably learned it.
All right. Well, now I know. Fool me once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not going to fool me two times, Carlos Gonzalez. But kind of a funny thing. It doesn't bother me, really, by the way. I like funny, you know, silly, goofy things like that. But I do understand what Mudd was saying over the weekend, which was if you're the Rockies pitcher, just gave up a home run, you're not necessarily like the happiest you'll ever be.
That's true.
And you got your outfielder, you know, kind of having fun with it. I don't know if a pitcher, you know, you would appreciate that. I certainly get what he's saying.
Oh, no, absolutely I get what he's saying, and it makes a lot of sense. I think from now on, when you go there and a ball's hit like that, you need to look into the stands and see if the people are getting prepared to catch the ball.
That's another
opposed
way
to looking at the outfielder.
That's another way to cheat. Look at the fans. You're right. Or is everybody sort of scrambling to try and catch the ball that's coming, unless they turn out like the guy
and
in the game yesterday? Right. Can he actually catch it?
I know.
The guy yesterday took one off
the
chin. Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. All right, so we're off and running here. Yesterday was certainly a lot of fun with the four home runs. Look, we're talking about hitting the ball in the air and good things happening. So credit to James Shields. Because I really enjoyed watching him pitch yesterday. And, yeah, the ball was carrying. And, yeah, the ball was traveling. But it wasn't off the Rockies' bats. And that's because of the pitching yesterday. And Shields, look, man, pitching into the seventh inning. You know, he had to come out. He wasn't able to finish it. But, you know, whatever, that happens. But he was really in control for pretty much the entire start from the time he got in there.
Wow, I'll say. What about our pitchers? I mean, what is it? You got to smack them in the face in the first inning and let them know they're in a Major League Baseball game. before they bear down. That's, you know, they give up runs, and then they pitch really, really well. I mean, Jaynes was so good yesterday after giving up that leadoff home run to Blackman that it was amazing. I mean, right through the seventh inning, I kind of felt bad for him in the seventh inning because I knew he was struggling. I knew you knew that he was struggling, and you were just hoping he was going to be able to get through
the
inning.
Just get that one ground ball, whatever it is.
That's all he needed was that one out,
yeah.
And it was too bad.
I understand Pat Murphy taking him out, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, he had yanked a couple of pitches, the wild pitch. You could tell it was just – he was out of gas, you know, at 111 pitches. And you're right. Like, we all would have loved, you know, for somebody to just sort of swing and tick one over to second base or something like that and have him get through the seven complete innings. You know, but Norris comes in, so a couple of the runs do end up scoring there, which go against Shields and make the line look not maybe as impressive as he was throughout the afternoon. But that's good stuff from James Shields yesterday.
It really was.
And that was encouraging. All right, there is, of course, a social component to this show. Everybody knows that. If you want to tweet your questions or your comments, just use the hashtag PadresSH. That's how you get in with all of that. Our buddy Brady Phelps from the internet, Lob Shots, is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. Brady, if you follow him on Twitter, you are well aware, has been doing these amazing pancakes for charity. So we're going to talk to him about that because a couple of Social Hour pancakes have been made. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Brady is a local blogger personality and a good guy, and he's been on our show a couple of times, and he's this pancake artist. It's an unbelievable thing. And you say, pancake artist, Jesse, what are you smoking that you brought back from Denver? But no, he's like, it's incredible. Like, he's able to make these wonderful pancakes. I don't know how edible they are. I'll ask him that, you know, when we talk to him. Team logos or whatever, but we gave him a couple Social Hour assignments. So we'll show those to you coming up in a little bit, and we'll talk to Brady not just about the pancakes, but also the great cause that he's raising money for right now. Ghost of Ray Kroc, speaking of regular social media superstars, he says on Twitter, did I miss the special project Jesse was supposed to do with that Barney knockoff of a mascot this weekend? So I didn't fully get to it. You're right. I was talking about this last week. Dinger, the Rockies mascot, you know, idiot little dinosaur. So basically, and I mentioned it very briefly in Friday's game, but I didn't get to do the whole thing with it. Remember, he stands behind home plate and he tries to distract the pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
No mas. MLB shut him down.
Oh, well, and they should have.
Of course they should have. But again, I had to sort of just mention it in passing on Friday night. The game didn't really dictate getting into a whole conversation. But when we were there last month, I was able to do a little digging. And I spoke to some major league sources and confirmed that the kibosh has been brought down on Dinger trying to distract the opposing pitcher from behind home plate.
I can tell that you feel good about that, too.
I do feel good about
that.
It bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It annoyed me. And I'm glad that that was finally
Don't you wish you could just take – if you knew you could nail him in the head, would you take a ball from the press box and –
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, if I wasn't going to get in trouble, like if we knew we were saying, hey, I'm going
it's to
do
gonna
this.
It's not going
to
hurt him.
Right. I don't want to go to jail for assaulting a dinosaur.
Exactly.
But, yeah, no. Oh, absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I love mascots. I love hijinks. I love antics. I just thought that was a little tired. The behind a home plate, like the fanatic on the first base dugout trying to do his thing to the pitcher, totally good with that. But when you're right behind the plate, it's like, come on, man. Like, this is the big leagues.
Colorado could certainly come up with something better than a dinosaur.
Well, you know, they found dinosaur bones there, and
I
so
understand
they turned
that.
It. What would you propose as a Rocky mascot?
I mean, a moose before a dinosaur.
A moose.
I mean, everywhere you drive there, you're
going
to see a moose.
A lot of mises.
There are a lot of mises. And little mooses and mouses.
Well, the Mariners have a moose. So,
oh, they do?
Yeah, Mariner Moose, I believe, is his name.
I did not know that.
Okay. So let's say the Mariners was first, and I'm not 100% sure they were, but let's say Mariner Moose predates the Rockies franchise. So
it
you,
does.
You cross that one off.
Right.
What are you going with
so
next
we have
for
to
Colorado?
Think of a new one. Something made of hemp.
Just like a hacky sack, like a little hacky sack ball with
yes.
With like a Rastafarian hat on and yep. Little feet that he walks around.
Yes.
Family friendly. I like it. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. We got some Twitter questions coming in. Hashtag PadresSH. And also Brady Phelps is going to do some pancake talk coming up at the top of the hour. Join the Padres tomorrow for Pacific Islander Night presented by PIFA San Diego. The first 1,000 fans who purchase a Pacific Islander Night ticket will receive a Kukui Nutlay. Tickets for this special group night are only available at Padres.com/Pacific Islander. Padres.com/Pacific Islander. That is tomorrow against the Giants. Take a break. Come back. Your questions, your comments. Also, a little bit more on yesterday's win at Colorado. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with former Padre Kurt Bevacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Off day for the Padres. Back in action tomorrow. First of the nine-game homestand, the final homestand of the 2015 season. Hope to see everybody out here at Petco Park at least one or two more times the rest of the way here.
Really, the only series in the National League with any excitement to it whatsoever.
Padres-Giants?
Padres-Giants.
I thought you were going to say Padres-Brewers.
No, Padres-Giants. These three games.
Coming up.
I mean, there's two series in the American League that are really exciting. Yankees-Toronto, Houston-The Angels. I mean, those games, big time. They
big
mean
time.
Something.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the National League playing that means really anything.
It's
nobody's going to lose anything. Everybody's separated. Everybody knows who the wild card teams are going to be. The only two teams that are still fighting for anything are home field advantage with Pittsburgh and Chicago.
I think you could maybe – yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Go ahead.
No,
maybe,
no, no. I'm
maybe
good.
What?
I'm good.
Okay.
I like where you're saying. I like where your head's at. All right, we got a bunch of good Twitter stuff coming in. Before we get to those questions – no, let's do those first. We'll talk about Joaquin Benoit after Twitter. How about that? Because I want to talk about Joaquin Benoit. But first, let's go to Twitter. Start off with our good friend Rick RJ's Fro. He is very excited. Dinger was shut down. I've been on that case for years now. I feel complete now. That's right. Dinger the Dinosaur shut down as far as standing behind home plate and trying to distract visiting pitchers at Coors Field. Obviously, I'm not the only one passionate about this subject. Not only Rick, 3B Zine checks in as well. About time MLB shuts down that low-class moron dinosaur. By the way, he says, socks razor sharp tonight, fellas. Thank you.
Oh.
Complimenting our socks.
Perfect.
You know, that's always going to be. All right, so I said, Kurt, what would you like to see as a mascot, if not dinosaur, Dinger, for the Rockies? You said moose first, but that's taken by Seattle. Then you made a joke about, you know, something made of hemp. Any
hemp
other
man.
Ideas?
Hemp man. No, I didn't think about it
you
after
didn't?
I said
oh, okay.
Hemp man.
I thought you were going to really
lock
in.
Kind of went off into the clouds.
Cranky Ed has a suggestion.
Oh, he does.
I
good.
Like that Cranky Ed is getting involved in something a little bit silly. You know, because sometimes I think people think Cranky Ed out in East County is a little bit too serious, right, because he's cranky. But, no, he can have fun too.
Yeah, he can.
He suggests Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
There you go.
So no moose, but yes, squirrel. That's not bad. And his name is Rocky. I wonder if they would have to pay money to the Rocky and Bullwinkle people, though.
There'd probably be some trademark infringement there.
Yeah, but you can make a deal with them.
Oh, yeah.
You could work something out like the University of Oregon with Donald Duck. Like, there's always been some kind of arrangement they've had going back with the Walt Disney Company. That's not a bad idea because you get the moose thing
I
in.
I wonder how much they have to pay them.
I read about it once, and I forget,
really?
So I don't even know why I'm bringing it up.
I mean, was it a
– it's a weird deal. No, it was like a weird deal. It was done a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
So it's like – it's not like – today that would never happen. Or Disney would be like, sure, $1 billion, and you can use our duck. But it was like something friendlier than that, as
oh,
I recall.
Okay.
But I read the story like 2 years ago. I forget. Sorry. Friar Gal, Stealth Amy. I don't know why she's stealth. Maybe she's made of carbon fiber. But Amy says, hey, it's my birthday tomorrow. Let's celebrate by starting a sweep. Also, what will I do this off season? Happy early birthday, Amy. And sweep sounds good. Sweep of the Giants would be fun. That would be a very fun way to start off this whole thing.
That'll make Boach real happy.
Well, why are we worried about making your friend Bruce Bochy happy? I understand why you might want him to be happy in life.
No, I want them to play well and us to beat him every game.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I really do. I never root for the Giants when they're in town, even though I love Boach.
No, I understand.
So
I understand.
That's just the way it is. When they leave, I root for them.
What should Amy do in the offseason?
I don't know. I was just going to tell her.
Winter ball?
I'm thinking the same thing. Yeah, let's go to winter ball.
Let's all go down to Puerto Rico and maybe go to the Caribbean World Series or something.
I'd rather
like that.
Go to the Dominican.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll bring you guys to Cap Cana, and you might not want to come back.
I'm in, man. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Padres Social Hour on the road in the Dominican Republic. Seth, do we have the technological capabilities to broadcast from an international location?
Great idea.
Yes, we can make it happen.
Really?
Oh,
we can barely do it from here every day.
That's like the most positive, like confident, optimistic thing he's ever said. And you speak Spanish, right? See?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have contacts down there. So if we need a hookup with like a phone line or anything like that, I can take care of it.
You think this runs on a telephone line? Is that the sort of operation?
Just in case.
We're trying to call Fox Sports San Diego, California.
Or a jetpack.
Yeah. The MiFi is really going to keep it going. All right, Amy. Winter ball is the answer to your question. Dennis has a baseball question. He says, which player has the most pressure, Kurt? You ready? The most pressure to perform the remainder of 2015 to avoid being traded or released in the offseason? I don't know. Here's my – and you can answer the question if you'd like. My answer, Dennis, is that I don't know that that's like – I don't know that that's a thing. I don't know that a guy is playing a certain way in the last 2 weeks to avoid being traded or released. Now, there are guys going into free agency that, you know, might be seeing dollar signs added or subtracted as each day goes by, maybe, or trying to prove themselves healthy. Sean Kelly is going to be a free agent. He's trying to get back out on the mound to show both the Padres and other teams as he heads into free agency that he's healthy and effective and ready to go for 2016. But I don't – like, is there more pressure on some guys than others? I mean, Justin Upton's getting paid in free agency, no matter what happens the rest of the way. He's a known commodity.
Oh, big time.
Most of these guys are relatively known commodities, though, if they've reached the free agent point in time.
Melvin's getting paid. Justin's getting paid. Will's going to be here. Solarte's going to be here. Jed's going to be here. Spangenberg has surprised me the last 2 to 4 weeks. I was kind of on the fence with him about where does he fit in with this ball club. And he's starting to put me over to the side that there's a possibility that he could start at second base if, in fact, Jed was moved.
That's the kind of stuff we're talking about then. I like that. It's not to avoid being traded or released. It's to show how they fit in and maybe change the perception of how a guy might fit in. Those are the kinds of things maybe on the line more than anything else. Although, again, at this point in the season – you kind of are what you are, except, you know, maybe for a guy that's up from the minors and is getting an opportunity, that kind of stuff. But, you know, for most of these guys who are at the free agency point or at the, you know, potentially being traded, I don't know. I don't see it happening that way, I guess.
I would say that for the most part, and we're talking about 90% plus, decisions have already been made as to how the roster is going to round out going into 2016, naturally, there will be some exceptions, but I wouldn't think that there's a whole lot.
Yes. Okay. I agree with that.
Two or three, maybe.
Yeah. All right. So, Dennis, I know that's a little bit of like a roundabout non-answer, but I hope you understand what we're saying and that it makes some sense. Mascot stuff real quick again. Cranky Ed had the idea for Rocky the Squirrel, which I thought was a good idea, but Friar Fever brings up an outstanding point. He says, hey, the Lake Elsinore Storm, they've got the squirrel thing going on up there. We don't want the stupid dinosaurs stealing that, the Rockies. So that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Amy also checked back in. She says, the Colorado State mammal is the Rocky Mountain Bighorn Sheep. That could be a good one.
I thought about sheep.
Yeah, because Colorado State, they're the Rams.
If I have ever seen a sheep, I would have said sheep.
You've never seen one there?
I've never seen one.
And have you spent a good amount of time there?
Never seen any over in the desert.
Well, like a petting zoo,
Bighorn.
Maybe.
No, I'm talking about bighorn sheep.
Oh, like a wild sheep, ram.
Camp out on rocks.
Yeah.
And they stand in places that are crazy.
Yeah, up on like the edge of the cliff kind of thing.
Never seen one.
You got to go on like a big nature hike or something.
I look every single time I drive to the desert and every time I drive through Colorado.
They're mountain animals.
It's amazing I haven't wrecked yet because I'm looking for sheep.
You're that locked in on the sheep?
Yes, I am. Why? I really am.
What, is there a fascination there?
Yeah, because I can't find one.
We'll
you always
you.
Want what you can't have.
No, I understand. We'll find you a sheep. Maybe that's what we'll do this offseason. We're going to Colorado.
We'll bring a sheep with us to the Dominican.
No. You
I
don't
still
want
to bring you to Capcana.
It gets very complicated when you bring livestock across an international border. You don't want to do the paperwork.
Okay, I'll take your
word.
They
don't even let you bring, like, flowers. You can't bring a sheep, bighorn or otherwise. It'll get very complicated. Special visas. the paperwork. They probably got to, you know, test it for different disease.
I'm trying to
it's a lot of work.
When I went to Venezuela, if we brought our dog. I can't remember.
That's at least a domesticated animal. We're talking about a wild sheep.
Well, if you put them on a leash, you're good. Right?
Put a little bell on them like a cow.
Exactly.
Come here. Come on. Sheepy. What would you name the sheep? Think about that during the break. First, though, our Firehouse sub of the game, Joaquin Benoit yesterday. He was very fun to watch. This guy amazes me. You know, he comes on. It's not a hold situation. They've got a 6-run lead. And he does his thing. He walks around. He throws his pitches and just strikes out the side. Like, the guy is just incredible. And it's so easy to overlook him, I think, you know, particularly now when you're not playing, you know, super important games and the team has been eliminated from postseason contention. But this guy just roll on out there against a really good offensive team and some really good hitters and just sort of strike out the side, again, doing his job. I enjoy watching Joaquin Benoit pitch.
I have too. I really have. There were a couple of times where he gave up some long balls that kind of irritated me in certain situations. But other than that, he's been really, really fun to watch, especially the night before when Murphy hit his first major league home run for the Rockies. Mm-hmm. I still can't figure, and maybe you know, I still can't figure out whether Benoit switched the balls.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or he didn't know whether or not it was his first major league home run.
We saw it on TV. He retrieved the baseball.
And then threw it.
And threw it into the crowd. But was he just messing with the kid Murphy? Or did he have, as you said, no idea it was his first major league home run? I don't know the answer to that question. We'll ask him maybe tomorrow when the team is back. It's a good question. All right, Benoit, our Firehouse sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. All right, Kurt, we've got this thing all lined up. We're answering very serious questions about sheep and goats and Rocky and Bullwinkle. And when we come back, we're going to get even more serious. Brady Phelps is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about making pancakes. Seriously, he's been making pancakes for charity and some just incredible baseball-themed and even more exciting than that, social hour-themed pancakes. You'll get a look at those when we return. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Pancake Talk with Brady when we return. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. We are, of course, talking about the Padres and the win yesterday over the Rockies, and we're talking even a little bit about the upcoming series against the San Francisco Giants. Bavacqua's very excited to catch up with Bruce Bochy. But in addition to all of that, look, we're talking about, you know, real life, too. And one of the big things on San Diego Twitter the last couple of weeks has been Brady Phelps' pancake making. Now, Brady joins us on the Cholula hotline. And Brady, you are not just making pancakes for fun, which you've been doing, I know, for some time. You have added a charitable component here, and it's a pretty awesome thing. So, like, right out of the chute, maybe, tell everybody who you are raising money for and why, and then we'll have some fun with these pancakes.
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys. Hi, Kurt. Hi, Jeff. I am doing it for Charity Water. It's an organization that's been around for 8 or 9 years, and their main goal in life is to bring clean water to people who don't have it, mostly sub-Saharan Africa, but really all over the world where people are in need. And I think it's a big deal because water changes everything. I mean, it puts people in a position to not just live a quality life, but to live, period. Clean water is saving lives. So it's been pretty neat. I mean, a lot of these people, they have their only two options in life are to drink nothing and die, or drink clean water, or drink dirty water that they spent maybe 8 hours a day walking to go get. And so these guys, every penny that is donated goes directly to the field because they have people that cover all their overhead costs. So 100% goes out to the field, and it's pretty incredible charity. So I'm loving that I'm a part of it, and every penny that these pancakes have raised is going directly to building a well that will bring clean water to people who have never had it before. So pretty neat.
It's awesome.
That's neat stuff. Now, I'm wondering how you got started on this thing, because I know how I got started doing my pancakes. Because whenever I make a pancake, it always looks different every time.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's the way you started also.
I couldn't do a circle, Kurt. It was outside of my capacity to make a circle. It was impossible for me. And so I started looking around my kitchen, and I found like a ketchup bottle or something. And I thought, I wonder if I could put batter into this and make a good circle. And sure enough, I can make a circle squeezing that batter. And then I made a Mickey. And then I thought, oh, if I leave it on a little longer, I can burn part of it and it'll create a design. And I made Elmo. And then my kids were obsessed with it. So they started to try to mess around a little more. And then I used colors. Then once I used colors, I was able to start getting a little more creative. And next thing you know, here I am on TV talking about it.
Yeah. Well, it's not really TV. It's Padres Social Hour. The famous chicken. This is a great one here. The people at Fox were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It is television. No, it is. It's Fox Sports San Diego. The chicken. This is one of the best ones that we're showing it now, Brady. The famous chicken. I mean, this, if, for people who are looking at
that's amazing.
That's a pancake, for goodness sakes. Like, that's an actual pancake. Now, what do these taste like? I think that's a question a lot of people are wondering.
Well, they taste just like pancakes. I mean, it's got, obviously, it has a little bit of food coloring in there, which, you know, consumed in high quantities is certainly not healthy. But it's not going to hurt you. This particular one, anything that's dark, that's just like, you know, cocoa powder. So it's just chocolatey, you know. But this chicken I was particularly proud of. It was the first time I had a really thin tip to kind of make the edges, because otherwise the pancakes were kind of clunky. And I don't really like to admit this, but to give you an idea of how happy I was when I flipped this pancake, because you never know what they're going to look like when you flip it, because it's just like a gooey blob until you turn it. And when I turned this one, I did like a Tiger Woods fist pump. Like, I was so pumped on this thing. And so I love it. I mean, look at it. Just like, he's like got this look of seduction. Incredible stuff.
So are there any eggs in that pancake?
No. I see what you did there.
No. He already did the hatching gig one time, and that was enough. So.
Yeah, he did. And yeah. I had something to do with
that,
too.
Yeah, you're a big part of that, Bavakwa. All right. Brady is on Twitter at Lobshots, and you can check him out. Here's some more. So a bunch of people wanted their college mascot or their college logo. These are really good. So we've got these up now. There's like Pistol Pete from Oklahoma State. I see an Indiana helmet, a Michigan State. The Northern Illinois, is that it, the Husky, the Northern Illinois Husky?
I think the one you're looking at is probably the Washington Husky.
Washington Husky.
Actually.
Either way, it looks – it's like it might as well be drawn like on a computer. I see the TCU Horned Frog, SC Trojans. Mike the Tiger, you've got obviously the Aztecs, the San Diego State. That one's very cool.
The Miami Redhawk also.
Yeah, Miami of Ohio Redhawk.
Yeah.
And I mean, these are incredible. So people have been donating, and you've basically said, hey, if you hand me, you know, $20, I'll make a pancake. Do I have the number right? Is that right? 25?
It started as $20, and then humbly and thrilled, the demand grew incredibly fast, and I couldn't keep up. I mean, it would have been my full-time job for the next 2 years, was just to make pancakes. So I had to raise the price to $100, which is amazing. And
wow.
Charity Water has been matching it one for one. So $100 a pancake, and some people have just been incredible and donating $500 or donating $1,000. And, I mean, one person donated $4,000.
Wow.
So it's out of control. It's been going on. I think I started my campaign on the 2nd of this month. And what's today, the 20th?
21st.
And it's up over $30,000 now.
$30,000.
It's insane.
You're just one man making pancakes.
Wow. In your spare time.
I did a rough count, and it's about 90 pancakes that I've made so far, and I've still got about like 30 in the queue that I'm working on. So
90, real quick, 90 divided into 30,000.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's pretty good.
You give more because they're awesome. So
that is awesome.
It's been a really
special thing to be a part of. I'm pretty thrilled about it.
Good for you. You know,
good
just from a human standpoint, man, like, good for you. That's awesome. This is a talent. This is also something you've been a great sport about. We made a donation here at Padres Social Hour. And
I'm so sorry, Seth.
This is just so wonderful. So obviously, one of the requests was blooper, Seth. And so
yeah.
Brady made a Seth pancake. And so you see the picture there that it was based on.
So bad. I keep telling everybody I'm not an artist, that I can't do portraits, and they keep asking for portraits. And so I feel like this is your fault. You asked for this, and I tried.
I mean, you say fault, but I want to take credit. Like, this is outstanding. By the way, Blooper's mom back in New York is watching, and she is incredibly into this whole thing.
I mean, the nostrils and the teeth, like, what was I thinking? It's
a little
so
pig man going on, a little bit of a pig man situation. But I think you nailed the hair and the beard and the mustache and the glasses. It's clearly Seth Blooper, I would say. So then today you added another member of the Padres Social Hour family, and this one is incredible. We've got video rolling here. This is eventually, and you can see how Brady does this. The videos are great, by the way, the time lapse. I think that adds such a cool element to it. This is a Bill Center pancake, and when he flips this thing over and you get a look at it, it's going to blow your mind, Bavacqua.
I don't understand that part of it right there. Where
look
you
at that. That's Bill Center.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Does that not blow your mind?
That looks exactly like him.
It blows your mind. It looks exactly like Bill Center. The best part of this, though, is the Randy Jones reply, which came a little while ago. And Randy says, quote, "I'm sure the hell not eating that pancake. I don't care how much money Hagler spent." Did you ever think, Brady, that Randy Jones and Kurt Bavacqua would be talking to you and tweeting to you about pancakes that you made?
Not in a bazillion years. It's a wild world that we're living in, and I'm happy to be a part of the ride.
All right, so $100 to Charity Water, and you get a pancake, whatever you want, right? I mean, it's pretty much
– anything you request, I will – I mean, assuming it's not, like, something that's, you know, inappropriate.
Yeah, no, it's got to be family-friendly.
Yeah, I will do my best.
Well, you did Bill Center.
You can tell sometimes they're good, sometimes they're pretty bad.
They're amazing. People can check out Brady at Lob Shots. Also, you've got another account, right, just dedicated to the pancakes?
I did, yeah. I have this The Pancake Dad, and I'm not as active on Twitter with that one, but that's the Instagram feed that everything goes on. It's The Pancake Dad.
All right, so The Pancake Dad on Instagram at Lob Shots. On Twitter, you can check out the pancakes and you make a donation. Man, this was just such a fun, cool, creative way to do a great thing for the world. Thank you for that. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us. And thank you always for the Seth Foster and Bill Center pancakes.
Thanks for having me, guys. And thanks for helping me promote a really good cause.
Absolutely, man. That's
awesome. We might not be done yet.
There's, hey, bring it on, Bavacqua.
You know what? There is one person.
Yeah.
That Christy has Brinkley. All the International House of Pancake franchises in Southern California.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know him?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's set up a meeting.
I'm coming up with an idea here.
All right. Bavacqua's wheels are turning. Yeah. You know what happened the last time that took place?
Oh, what happened?
You blew a really big bubblegum bubble.
Oh, that's true.
No, I'm kidding. Suggesting that was the last
that's
time
the
you
last
had a thought.
Time. That was the last time I had any kind of a good idea.
Awesome, Brady. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
All right, Brady Phelps on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Check him out at Lob Shots on Twitter and at The Pancake Dad on Instagram.
Wouldn't that be a great promotion?
Yeah, man. Hook it up.
No, it's perfect.
It's
perfect. I mean, it really is. For Brady to be at a location.
Come out,
for
do
charity.
A whole thing.
Yeah.
Money raised goes to Charity Water.
That's perfect. And he the guy's going to love it.
Yeah. Good for him, man. That's awesome. And happy to shine a light on Brady, who's a good sport about all this stuff. We'll take a break, come back, more of your questions, your comments, et cetera, et cetera. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. Thanks again to Brady Phelps for spending some time talking about pancakes with us. We didn't get a good look at the Bill Center pancake. It was like a quick video. We've got the still now of the Bill Center pancake. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's dead on.
It really is.
Right? Just beautiful. Thanks again to Brady. The chicken is my favorite, though. The famous chicken.
The chicken's awesome.
I mean, he just nailed it. He nailed it. And I have no artistic ability whatsoever, so I would never even try to make art pancakes. But it's such a cool thing. And you go to his Twitter feed, you can see all the little videos and everything like that of him doing it. It's sensational.
I'm trying to figure out what the chicken's doing with his legs there.
Well, that it's like a famous picture of him, like where he's laying like that. He's relaxed. Ted's got to take a load off sometimes. You got to lay down, cross your little three-toed legs.
Three-toed legs.
Chickens don't have feet like we do. They're different.
That's true.
It's just a fact of nature, like something about a sheep. Friar Fever, meanwhile, says we're distracting him from writing his post for Gaslamp Ball. Sorry, one person waiting for this to be done. Friar Fever, you are a superstar at Gaslamp Ball. Can I just say that? You're no ghost of Ray Kroc, but you're a superstar to us. Good luck writing the post. Sorry we've been distracting you with our incredible talk. Blooper says we have to take a break. When we come back, maybe some more Twitter. Also, a couple of big pieces of injury news for one of the top teams in the National League. We'll talk about that. And also a couple notes about the use of analytics and sabermetrics in Major League front offices. That's all coming up in the next 10 minutes or so. And at Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free with quality name brand tires and 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get to. Take a break, come back, all of that and more right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United. St. Louis Cardinals. They've clinched a playoff spot. They will be playing postseason baseball. They found out Yadier Molina, their catcher, has a torn ligament in his left thumb. And they're going to do an MRI again in 5, 6, maybe 7 days. They seem relatively confident that he could be back for the postseason, but that's no sure thing.
That proves how long the postseason is.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. That could be a dicey thing for them.
Absolutely, it could.
Yadier Molina. They also got some good injury news. Remember Adam Wainwright, the curveball? Blew out his Achilles like the first week of the season back in Milwaukee. He has been cleared to resume baseball activities. He's going to throw a bullpen session coming up or a sim game in the next couple of days, and they're thinking he might be available not as a starter because he's not stretched out, but as a relief pitcher in the postseason. That's a piece of good news for the St. Louis Cardinals.
It's good news as far as the name's concerned.
How is he actually going to pitch?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's a fair question.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Now, Yadier Molina is a huge blow to him.
Yes.
Without him, they're not the same team.
I agree with that. More defense than offense, obviously, but they're not. They are not the same team.
I love Yadi offensively. He's the kind of hitter that
even
you
this
want.
Year?
Yeah, because he goes the other way.
Okay.
He doesn't try to do things that he can't do.
All right.
So I kind of like a guy like that. I remember the play that he got hurt on the other day. It's you don't like to see that.
No.
You don't like to see the Gungs get hurt. But you pull up the 1977 Hal McRae slide into the Willie Randolph, I think it was, the Yankee second baseman. Mm-hmm. You see how sliding used to happen. And so that slide was tame the other day.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with that. It's unfortunate.
It was unfortunate.
But it's sort of the way it's played. All right, we'll take a break, come back. A couple of quick notes about the use of analytics in baseball front offices. Join the many Darth Vaders, Chewbaccas, and Stormtroopers as they invade Petco Park Saturday night for Star Wars Day. Come to the game dressed in your best Star Wars costume and purchase a special ticket package to get a custom-themed T-shirt. That's only available for the first 2,000 fans with a Star Wars Day ticket. Tickets are at Padres.com/Star Wars, Padres.com/Star Wars. Take a break, come back, couple notes on analytics, and then we get out of here on Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, just so you know, there was a tweet that came in that said, and I quote, "That pancake of Seth is so sweet it doesn't need syrup." I'm just leaving that there right now. That was a tweet that came in. Hey, really good story, Kurt, in the Wall Street Journal. Brian Costa, he did a Q&A with Billy Bean of the A's and Bill James sort of, you know, father of sabermetrics, if you will. Really, really interesting. You should definitely check it out. But one of the questions he asked was, what is the next big analytical field that we're going to tackle? Like, we've had the catcher framing and the shifting, and they said medical stuff. Think about that. How to predict injuries and whatnot. That is the next great frontier. Interesting. 5:30 show tomorrow. I'm out the next two nights. Jordan Kruth will be here with Randy Jones. Good job, Kurt.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was fun being here. I'm trying to...